I sure love Jesus, and I know you do too. You know, there's an old song, I will bless thee, O Lord, I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I don't know where you and I would be without the Lord. I mean, life without Jesus, no meaning whatsoever. And again, I pray the Lord will bless you today, you wonderful partners and friends that are joining me today for a powerful teaching on how to know the will of God and how to know it's His voice. Very important today. I'm going to show you some good things. I hope you have your pen and a little piece of paper to write things down, because what I'm going to share with you, I want you to be able to remember. So, here you are. Hello to Saul from Pakistan, Sarah from Germany, Shireen, God bless you. Hello to Joel Devayet. Hello to Anil. I really love reading your names, by the way. Hello to Shirug. Thank you so much for what you said. Thank you very much. Hello to Saida. And there's someone from China. My goodness. Satish Kumar from China. Hello to Lubika. She needs a healing for her skin. Lord, heal her today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hello to Amanda and Abigail. Says, please pray for my mom. I want to remind you, our next miracle healing service is July 3rd at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on the West Coast, 4 p.m. East Coast again. This last one, it was incredible. I think we're closing in on 200,000 people that saw that healing service, and many, many healing testimonies have come. It's wonderful what the Lord has done. To Jesus, oh, to Jesus be all the praise. Hello to Landy from Bolivia and to Yin. One wonderful young man from South America was healed in the service. You know, I like doing it on Zoom now where I can see people. By the way, on the 3rd of July, we're going to be able to go up, God willing. Now, they're telling me that they can do it, where we can go up to 5,000 that I can see. Imagine that. Chad, you know about that, right? That Dan is working on this. Where I can see 5,000 people and they can see me. But I, you know, for me to see you is really important, because when I look at your faces on Zoom, the Lord just, you know, talks to me about certain people to pray over them. And it's amazing, you know, there's no distance in prayer and the presence of God too. So I was laying hands, some of you probably saw on the screen as they brought people to me, on like when I just saw the one individual. I really felt the anointing. It was like being in a service right there with them. So imagine that. So every 2 weeks we will have a healing service and communion. So communion, healing services every 2 weeks. So you can join me. Well, let's just pray right now. Wonderful Lord, I give you the praise. Oh, Lord Jesus, I bless your name and I love you. And Lord, I pray you'll give us such clarity today, such beautiful clarity in your word, that everyone will receive and understand your sweet word. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus is coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. All right, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 12 through 14. I'm talking again about how do you know God's will for your life and how to know it's His voice talking to you. So let's begin with Hebrews 5. And by the way, don't forget, all of you sweet people, as you go to the Bible, At 3 o'clock today, I do my BHI Institute class today, live on Zoom. Nearly 500 of you signed up today. And this is only for those on Zoom, not for those outside. So you have to be a part of BHI to be in the class. Anyways, all right, let's just begin. Verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. Now, today we need to discern the will of God and discern what is His voice. So the Bible tells us that strong meat is really the key here, the scriptures. Strong meat belongs to them that are of a full age. Even those who by reason of use, that's the law of use, have their senses exercised. In other words, you need to train your spiritual senses. Train your spiritual senses. There's more than one. To discern both good and evil. When is it God? When is it not God? When is it good? When is it bad? So the writer to the Hebrews begin by saying, you know, rather than being teachers, you need that one teach you, to the church he wrote to. And then he said, many of you are still on a milk diet. And people who are on a milk diet can never know God's will. It's hard. You have to be on a meat diet. You have to know the word of God to know when is he talking and is he talking. Because he said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's not able to understand the word of God and when is God talking to us. Because he's a babe. So, now, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. So, I'm praying right now the Lord will begin to show you and speak to you about how to know His will. But let's begin first also with Jeremiah 1. Because in Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5, it clearly states that God has a plan for your life. In fact, God has a plan for every life. And let's read together Jeremiah 1. Beginning at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So here we see God had a plan for Jeremiah. As we know from Scripture also in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 1, that God Almighty has a plan for every life because we're all called with a holy calling. Therefore, God has a plan for your life. We just have to find it now. Now, in Numbers 22, the Bible says that not many people are seeking the will of God. Not many are seeking God's approval when they do something in life. They're like Balaam, you know, who wanted to do his own thing, and then God had to stop him. So it's very important to get God's approval before we proceed. So it's not saying, Lord, bless what I'm doing. It's, Lord, let me do what you are blessing. So what are you blessing, Lord? And here's the first thing I want to give you that you will know God is in something that is blessed. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule. This is very important what I'm giving you. Because where there is peace, that's where you find the will of God. I know you've heard that before, but I'm going to give you kind of a list of things to write that can really help you know if this is really peace or is it something mental. But it says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule, means control, in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, he also goes back to giving us the real key to all this, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom in your life. So without the word of God, we cannot really have peace. So the first thing I look for is, do I feel peace? I was in Florida not long ago, and because, I'm making some changes with what I want to live. And we're looking for a new home in Florida. And I went to see a few homes, and I said to the real estate agent, I said, it's not about the way it looks, it's how I feel about it. I want to feel peace when I walk in. If I don't feel peace, I'm out. We walked into the first house that had everything I wanted, but no peace. I was out like that. It was the right price, right location, right everything. And I said, I just don't feel peace. Because within us all, we have a navigational system. God has put in you an amazing system of navigation, like a radar. Inside, every Christian has a radar, I'm telling you. The problem is, often it's not on. It's off. And what turns the radar on is the Bible, the Word of God in your life. The Word of God in your life turns that radar on. So the first thing you know when God is in it, peace. Here's something. Chad was there. He's looking at, what are you doing down there? Oh, you're making sure everything's fine. Okay. I'm walking around this house and I'm feeling like trouble. And the real estate is going on. The gentleman was showing me everything, and everything sounded right. I turned around. The owner was sitting in his office. Now, Chad, you were there and saw it with your own eyes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait, so they can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah. So I turn around, and I didn't see this picture when I walked in, so I'm walking in straight this way. The second I walk in, I'm feeling something's wrong here. Now, everything is right about the house, even the location, the price, everything. And when I turned around, guess what I saw? The owner was just went into his office. He opened the door to do something in his office, and I wouldn't have seen it unless he went into his office. On the wall, he had a picture of the devil. Am I not right?
Yes, sir.
He had a picture of the devil on the wall. I did not even see the picture when I walked in. I said to Chad and the real estate, we're gone, out. I didn't even say bye to the fellow, to the owner of the house. I said, this is, and you sensed it in your heart immediately. I'm telling you, saints of God, don't ever ignore that radar. It works all the time if the word of God is in there. Now, let me give you a list of things I want you to write. Write this down. Number one, if you lose the peace, don't do it. Number two, if there's confusion, don't do it. I'm giving you a list. that you ought to really listen to and write down right now. If you lose the peace, don't do it. No matter what it is. If it's marriage, if it's business, if it's a job, if it's somewhere you're going, don't do it. Two, if there's confusion, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't buy it. If it's a house or a car or whatever, if there's confusion, just don't do it. Number three, if fear is in your heart, don't do it. Because these things are not, they're signs from the Lord. He's not in it. So if you lose peace, don't do it. If there's confusion, do not do it. If there's fear, if there's something about the thing that brings fear, causes fear, don't do it. Number four, if it's short-lived, are you listening there, Chad? If it's short-lived, like someone going into a relationship, they're looking for a husband or a wife, and they begin to look at someone and befriend them. If that relationship breaks down quickly, walk away. Don't even go to fix it. Listen to me. I could save you a lot of pain here if you just listen. Some people, because they're caught up with the beauty of the person or the talents in a person or the gifts or the family they come from and so on, they want to fix it. So you meet somebody, within days or weeks, something goes wrong. The relationship comes to an end because it's not the Lord, because if it's God, it will not stop like that. And what they do is they go buy them flowers or send them a gift, kind of fix things up, bring them back, you know, because they miss them. No. If it's short-lived, whatever it is, if it's short-lived, it's not God. Don't do it. I'm just giving you my real honest opinion, and I'm, you know, going to the Bible really, because longevity is the key to God's will, you know. It's a process. Never is it so short-lived when it comes to God's will. All right, so number one, if you lose your peace, no. Two, if there's confusion, no. Three, if there's fear, no. Four, if it's short-lived, no. Now number five. If it doesn't produce blessings, don't do it. If it doesn't produce blessings right away, don't do it. Because when God is in something, it produces blessings immediately. Immediately. Blessings come real quick when God is in something. But if it doesn't produce blessings, I won't do it. It's not God's will. Now, if it's not, here's the next one, if it's not confirmed by other people, don't do it. Because when God is in something, He'll always confirm it. He'll tell many people about what you should do. When the Lord asked me to start a church in Orlando back in 83, I didn't really want to. I said, Lord, I don't want to have to look at people every Sunday, the same people. I just said that to Him. Because I'm in my heart, I'm an evangelist. And I enjoy traveling and ministering, praying for the sick, evangelizing, teaching the Bible. Well, the Lord, it was His will for me to have OCC in Orlando and to have a church. And I said, Lord, if it's Your will, I want to know. And the first thing I had was peace, absolute peace. And I'm going to say to you, there was no confusion whatsoever. Everything I asked for happened. There was no fear. It wasn't short-lived because it just stayed. Because when it's His will, there's an echo with it. Just keeps going. Like it gets louder and louder and louder. God talks again and again and again. And next thing you know, blessings began coming my way where the Lord supplied a building. And I said, Lord, if this is You, I want a building. It happened. I said, if this is you, I'm going to have a healing service in Orlando. I want the place packed, when we didn't have even the crowds at that time. It was packed. The biggest auditorium in Orlando, Florida was totally packed, miraculously. And then I said this. I said, Lord, give me the whole music department in one day, if this is your will. And it happened. God gave it to me. Paul Zink's church in Jacksonville, the musician and the entire department came to help me in Orlando and work with me. Richard Weed brought his whole music department down there. That was in 83. It was a miracle, a total miracle. It produced immediate blessings. And I'll never forget, everywhere I would go, a pastor would come and say, God is saying to me that you should have a church. The confirmations were like, God was almost screaming at me, you know. That's what I mean by confirmations, because God repeats it over and over and over. Next, if it's God's will, it's never hasty. Never hasty. So I'm giving you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now this is number 7. If it's hasty, it's not the Lord. You know what it says in Isaiah 52. I hope this is really helping you. Isaiah 52 verse 12. Oh, sorry about that. Isaiah 52, let's just go to verse 12. Listen to this. This is so dangerous when people rush into anything. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will also be your backing. Real reward. He'll be behind you. So think about that. God Almighty is really covering you from beginning to end. So when people are hasty, it's never the Lord. I've never known the Lord to do it like now. It just doesn't happen. Now when God speaks, but he'll keep you waiting for a while. I mean, think about Israel waiting 400 years. Think about, you know, Abraham waiting 25 years before Isaac ever came. When he went to the promised land, he was 75. He was 100 when Isaac came. But God came and said, it's time now, get ready. In Genesis 18, he said, a year from now, Isaac will be there. And so it happened. And Israel had to wait for God's timing. And when God's timing comes, then you move fast. But you have to know this is his will before you even move. So if it's hasty and people want it like now, like McDonald's style, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, and here's the one more thing. Isaiah 28, verse 10 to 13 says, it must be line upon line. In other words, God never shows you his will all at once. It's like one thing at a time, then it all adds up together. Years ago, I went skiing. It was the only time in my life I went skiing, and I didn't do well, by the way. There was a sweet man named Jim Gooding, and he took Sue and I and her mom and dad to Aspen, Colorado. I've never been to Aspen before or since. It was a beautiful time, and I was skiing on a hill called Fanny Hill. It's funny because that's where people fall in. It took me days to figure out why they call it that. Anyways, now he puts me on one of those things where you ride up the mountain, you know. What do you call those things, Chad? Where you
Ski lift.
So I'm on a ski lift, and we're going up and up and up. And I'm thinking, okay we're going to stop there because the mountains did this, you know. I didn't see where we were going because things like, you know, hills were in the way. And it just went up and up and up. And I said to Jim, I said, how high are we going? He said, right to the top. I said, Jim, I'm going to die if you take me there. There's no way I can scale all the way down. He said, it's the only way to learn, Benny. Boy, was ever right. I was scared that day. But what was amazing is I could not see the second hill till I saw the first one. And I learned something about God. He never shows you the second step till he shows you the first step. It's like one thing at a time. So when it comes to his will, one hill at a time, one step at a time, one thing at a time. God never reveals the whole picture. If God had showed me when I was young in the early 70s where he would take me, I would have said, no, Lord, please. I don't think I want to go there, because I would not have been able to handle, like, could I survive all this? 46 years later, almost, I look back and I'm amazed at how God did it. All the attacks that came against me from the news media, from the government, from people. I had God said that to me and showed me my whole life, I would have said, Lord, no, thank you, I love you, but I just don't want to go there. So God never reveals his entire picture all at once. And I'm 68 today, and I'm sure there's more things to come, but God will show me one thing at a time, only one thing at a time in my life. And a few weeks ago, I met Pastor Quintero, and I've always wanted to do something for the hungry, you know, feed the hungry. And we've done it in many places around the world. When I would go, I fed the hungry in Ghana with Dr. Samaral, and we did it in Calcutta, India. Oh, dear goodness, with Mrs. Bantin and others. And it always stole my heart, and I said, one day I'm going to do it, like, for good. And I just waited for the time. 45 years later, God sends a man, Pastor Norman Quintero, and we unite, and God says, now you do it. I would not have been able to handle it if I was involved with all that I was involved with in the past. It could not have happened anyways. Now we're gonna be doing it every week in different cities. I would not have been able to do that when I was doing other things for the Lord. I'm still preaching the gospel, I'm still praying for the sick, that's my life. But now I have the time, and I have the ability, and I have the relationships and connections to do this blessed thing, brand new thing in my life, to feed the hungry, and to help ministers, and to strengthen the saints. But see how it all happened line upon line. Now, that's when you know it's God. I just gave you the list to know when God is in or not in something. Now, let me tell you when it's the enemy. When the enemy is in it, here's the first thing you look for. It's always full of fear. Don't touch it. So when God is in it, there's peace. When God is in it, there's no confusion. When God is in it, there's no fear. When God is in it, it's long-lived, not short-lived. When God is in it, there's blessings. When God is in it, it's confirmed by many people. When God is in it, it's not hasty. It takes time. When God is in it, it's line upon line. When the devil is in it, it's always full of fear. Number two, when the devil is in it, it's always insistent. There's like, do it now, insistence. That's the devil. When it's impulsive, it's the devil. When it's impulsive, it's the devil. When it's driving, when somebody's driving you to do it, they're pushing you into it, it's the devil. When there's no faith in God, it's demonic. So when it is Satan, it's always full of fear, insistence, impulsiveness. It's always driving. I'll never forget something I heard years ago. Jesus always leads, Satan always pushes. Jesus, the Lord, always leads you. Always. He's never pulling you, he's leading you. He said, just follow me and follow my example. While the devil is always pushing you. So anytime you feel you're being pushed into something, don't do it. It's not the Lord. So I'm talking to some right now that really need this, because some I just felt by the Spirit that some are saying, this is me. I'm being pushed to do something I don't want to do. Don't do it. It's not the Lord. Anything that you push needs to die. Anything that people push needs to die. Because God is not in anything that people push. It's the devil. When it's without faith, it's the devil. Here's one more thing. if it's confusing, it's the devil. Well, I should, that's easy to know. Huh. Now, here's something else people don't think about. If it aims to please the flesh, it's the devil. Oh, I hope men are listening to me. If it aims to please the flesh, it's always the enemy. Now, the devil always speaks when people are weak. So never do anything when you're weak. So if you're weak and you hear something you should do, don't do it. It's not the Lord. The Lord never speaks to us when we are weak. He speaks to us when we're spiritually strong. I just said something very important. When we are spiritually weak, God is silent. When we are spiritually weak, the devil is audible. That's when his voice is strong. When we are spiritually strong, God speaks. When we're spiritually strong, the devil is silent. Did you hear that, Chad? Shall I say it again? What did I say? No, you say it to me. What did I say? When you are what? When you're spiritually strong, who's talking? God. When you're spiritually strong, who's not talking? The devil is not talking. When you're spiritually strong, the devil cannot talk to you. But when you're spiritually weak, who's talking to you? The devil. And when you're spiritually weak, who's not talking to you? The Lord. So never do anything when you're weak. Never do, don't even go there. When you're weak in the spirit, you just, it's the wrong time to move. Oh, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. My sweet daughter, Tashi, asked me a question years ago when I was weak. I always said the worst years of my life were 2010, 11, and 12. When my personal walk with God was really weak. And my precious girl asked me something. And I told her to do it. And today, I look back, I think, oh Lord, how I missed it back then. How I should have never told her to do it. The pain it brought my precious child. And she said, Dad, you told me to do it. I said, I know, honey. I wasn't the Benny I am today. I wasn't the same man. I was going through my painful season. And I should have learned it, but I've learned it now. And I've learned it from my own experience. When you're weak, don't move. I pray, dear Jesus, please speak to someone right now. Let them know your voice clearly, Lord. Let them become strong again in the spirit to hear your voice again. Wonderful Lord, in Jesus' name. See, my heart goes out to you because I know what it's like. When people are weak, they make the wrong choices in life and they think it's God who told them. And then when it's all done and the pain begins and the confusion sets in, they look back and say, why, Lord, did you allow it? Why did you allow it? Well, God did not allow it. You just didn't know any better because you were weak. We all have our weak times in life. Strength is the key to knowing God's will, because when you're strong, you hardly ever miss it. All right. Finally, when you're prayerless, don't do it. Because when people are prayerless, they're not hearing God right. Only prayerful people can hear God right. So when people are prayerless, it's not the time to make decisions. Any kinds of decisions. When you're prayerless, don't. That's the devil. So if you think God talked to you when you're prayerless, it's not the Lord talking, it's the devil talking. So, God never speaks when there's fear or insistence or impulsiveness or a driving force. God never speaks when there's no faith. God never speaks when there's confusion. God never speaks when it aims to please the flesh. God never speaks when we're weak. And God never speaks when we're prayerless. That list is worth a lot I just gave you. I'm going to give you one more thing, then I'm going to say bye. And then we'll continue tomorrow. Here's when it's you. See, people say, well, I want to know God's will. Well, I told you when it's God. I told you when it's the devil. Now let me tell you when it's you. Because sometimes we think God is talking to us when it's our own brain talking to us. So how do I know when it's me talking, not the Lord or the devil? Number one, write it down. If it's me, it's always premeditated. When it's the flesh, it's always premeditated. I've been thinking about it, planning it, you know. It's me, premeditated. When it's, when it's me, there's no conviction. There's no conviction. When it's me, it's short-lived, just like when it's the devil. When it's me, it's short-lived. When it's me, it doesn't produce peace or blessings. When it's me, it's repetitious. Repetitious meaning that I'm, you know, creating it on my own. You know what it says in Job 33 about this? Job 33, beginning at verse 12, it says, "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed. Then he opens the ears of men and seals at his instruction." So when someone is striving, when someone is trying to make it on their own, when they're trying to produce it on their own, it's repetitious, you know. They keep trying and trying and trying again. It's not the Lord. Because the way God does it is when we are asleep, he comes and talks to us when we're not trying anything. So rest in the Lord and let him show you before you try anything. It's good to try, but don't try till God Almighty comes and says, "It's me, do it." When it's me, it always satisfies my purpose. That's how you know it's you and not the Lord. When it satisfies my purpose. And here's something else. When it's me, it fulfills my pride. Oh, I did it. I did it. It fulfills my pride. And Job 36, 5 to 11 talks about that. How it fulfills the pride of men. So when people start to boast, because they did it themselves. "Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked."